The latest book from author Mike Pelacek, Johnny Moon. I've read JFK Assassination Fiction by Don DeLillo and Norman Mailer and can tell you that this new novel not only is Mike's best book yet, it's much better than DeLillo's and Mailer's efforts to do justice to the most important event in U.S. history. Kevin Barrett, American activist and radio host. Johnny Moon tells the story of a third grader in a Catholic school who wants to do what President John F. Kennedy asked us all to do. Johnny has told his classmates he wants to go to the moon. In fact, he wants to be the first one on the moon. And so the kids brand him with the nickname Johnny Moon. Sister M&M's is Johnny's teacher. Her sister was in Dallas that day, right up close to the limousine, taking pictures just as it happened. She saw some things that did not get reported back in Johnny's hometown Daily News. Sister M&M's and Johnny and the third grade Sacred Heart class decide to tell the truth about what happened. Harvey Wasserman on Johnny Moon. Mike Pelacek is a master of mixing the ethos of the heartland with great moments in history. His Johnny Moon evokes that time in our national story when getting to our favorite satellite was mated with the generation's coming of age. Order your copy of Johnny Moon at createspace.com. Order your copy of Johnny Moon at createspace.com. The latest book from author Mike Pelacek, Johnny Moon. WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the new American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being? That it has just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through the all-American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that all energy is free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founder's vision? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
It's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now, to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever. And peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream, with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelacek.
Welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show. For tonight's show, I'm going to read a piece written by Jerry D. Barnett of Lewiston, Montana. Been published on a couple of websites, and he was kind enough to give me permission to read it on the show. He's eloquently written on a topic that I've long felt strongly about, thank you for your service? No, thanks. It would be very difficult, he says, to think of any term that disgusted me more than those words uttered continuously in the presence of virtually any soldier in the United States. Thank you for your service. What service is actually being praised by those conditioned to say these empty words? Why are they thanking and praising nearly every soldier they see? Is it because hatred of the U.S. is increasing and new enemies are being created in the Middle East and all around the rest of the world? Is it because thousands and thousands of innocent people are being killed now in places like Afghanistan, Iraq, Pakistan, Libya, Syria, Yemen, and many more are being threatened? Is it because 20 million to 30 million foreigners, mostly innocent civilians, have died just since World War II due to U.S. interference in war? Is it because indefinite detention without due process, torture, assassination, and rendition are now common and accepted practices? Is it because suicide rates among American soldiers have increased 80% since the Iraq War began? Is it because mental problems now send more military personnel to the hospital than any other cause? Is it because destruction and separation of military families is rampant? Is it because civil liberties have all but disappeared due to so-called terrorism legislation? Terror legislation would, of course, be more accurate. Is it because of the creation of the USA Patriot Act, Military Commissions Act, NDAA, TSA, and Department of Homeland Security? Is it because of the massive buildup of killer drones abroad and at home? Is it because the huge deficit spending to support multiple aggressive wars is causing economic chaos? Is it because the surging number of double amputees of American soldiers? Is it because of increasing energy costs due to the United States' unwanted presence in the Middle East region? Is it because the domestic police have now become a brutal militarized force bent on controlling the entire population? I could, of course, go on, but the picture is clear. Those who continue to believe the propaganda about all U.S. wars leading to protection of freedom and to our national security are blinded by ignorance, consumed by pathetic false patriotism. No U.S. wars have ever served the purpose of freedom. They've only served to destroy. Due to these wars of aggression and occupation, our freedoms are virtually non-existent today. We're spied upon, tracked, searched without warrant, sexually assaulted, and radiated. There are now checkpoints in many parts of the country where it's demanded we show our papers. Their killer spy drones are filling our skies. Government agents in the military are patrolling all U.S. borders. Black Hawk war helicopters sporting heavily armed soldiers hanging on tethers are flying over our cities. Because of these wars, the government has gained enormous power and continues its assault on liberty. A police state environment has taken hold, and if not curbed soon, will lead to martial law in the near future. The DHS has purchased enough killing ammunition to murder more than twice the population. And on the say-so of one man, Americans can and are being assassinated. Why? In order for our national security to be defended, we first have to be attacked. That hasn't happened. In order to protect freedom here at home, all foreign wars must cease, and the government agencies and terrorism legislation created since 9/11 should be abolished immediately. Every U.S. base on foreign soil should be closed. Every troop stationed in another country should come home and enter the private sector. At least, that would be a good start. There's a reason the young are sent as cannon fodder to die in the wars with politicians, bankers, and corporations. They're less likely to challenge the orders they're given. Orders meant to be obeyed regardless of the immoral nature of the demands, regardless of the horrible consequences they will most certainly face. Those who serve do not serve the people who falsely praise them. They only serve one master. That master is the nation state and its benefactors. It is not we, the people. Thank you for your service. Absolutely not. We can't afford any more of this kind of service. To read the text, search out Gary Barnett on the internet, and you'll find that. It was up on Information Clearinghouse, among other places. And now my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. How are you doing? Tonight we're going to welcome Tom Hastings. He's a new guest to the show. Tom is a longtime activist, writer, and he is a instructor now at Portland State University. And we're also going to welcome back Keith McHenry, the founder of Food Not Bombs, who knows where he's at, actually. I don't know what town he's going to be in tonight talking to us, but we always look forward to speaking with Keith. I'm aware that some question or justify the events of 9/11, he said, speaking before a red curtain and six pairs of U.S. and Egyptian flags. But let us be clear, Al-Qaeda killed nearly 3,000 people on that day. And that's Barack Obama, June 4th, 2009, in Cairo. On November 10th, 2001, President George W. Bush spoke to the United Nations. He said, "We must speak the truth about terror. Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September the 11th, malicious lies that attempt to shift the blame away from the terrorists themselves, away from the guilty. To inflame ethnic hatred is to advance the cause of terror." Well, those are the words of liars, caught out in the open with the world watching, complicit in murder and treason. We know that now. To what rigorous study do we owe our beliefs about these following critical issues, themes, mysteries of our day? 9/11, Waco, the Oklahoma City bombing, UFOs, the counting of the votes and elections of George Bush, the murders of MLK, JFK, RFK, the alleged moon landings, the death of Paul Wellstone, Bigfoot, the presence of U.S. military stationed everywhere on the planet for seemingly no reason. Do we believe what we believe because we have studied, held them in our hands, rolled them around, and decided? Or was it because we heard it on the TV from some person being paid to deliver the message? This is William Shire. How difficult it is to escape the dread consequences of a regime's calculated and incessant propaganda. How useless it was even to try to make contact with the mind which had become warped and for whom the facts of life had become what Hitler and Goebbels, with their cynical disregard for the truth, said they were. Shire wrote The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, and he was reporting about Germany. He might as well have been reporting about America. It's been a long road, from a stolen election to a government-planned attack on September 11, 2001, to two invasions based on lies, power, money. What else is there? To a murdered senator, the one standing in their way who would not be moved. We didn't want it to come. We marched, we emailed, we sang, we wrote, we got arrested. But it came anyway, and it is still here. The new American dream is a yellow ribbon free zone. We do not support the troops. We do not support fighter planes flying over the Super Bowl. Why? And why the Star Spangled Banner? Steve Earle's F the FBI is actually a song more in line with a free nation, a nation that at least wants to be free. Let the children sing that to start each school day, and we've at least got us a start. The troops are not defending our freedom. They are thugs for the empire. Hoorah. We heard all about putting a boot up their ass from Toby Keith. He's a brave man to encourage other men to kill men, women, and children for no reason. Real patriots were the Dixie Chicks. We all know that now. Why didn't we know it then? Are we idiots, cowards? Are we evil? Are we a virus with shoes, as Bill Hicks suggested? Just asking. Protesters protect our freedom. That's the truth. Think Medea Benjamin, not John McCain. A hero does not drop bombs on people who are trying to live their lives. What is needed is a new American dream, something we can finally be proud of, not based on greed, killing, torture, prisons, keeping others poor so that we may be rich. That is not who we are. Is that who you feel you are? No, it's not. We are much, much better than this, much better than the rich people we have chosen for some reason to lead us. We need to be open to a new way of seeing things. Let us wipe the sleep from our eyes, the be-all-you-can-be military advertising lies, the lies of politicians, the fantasy found in our high school history books. Oswald did it. Sirhan did it. What? Oklahoma City was done by McVeigh alone. Fire coming out of the tanks at Waco. See that? And you still believe our president and attorney general and FBI did not burn children alive on purpose? the World Trade Center towers collapsed from the fire, and one of them was not even hit by a plane. Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. We believe it because Colin Powell told us so. What? Come on. Teachers, priests, ministers, coaches, parents, please start telling the truth. We can handle the truth. In fact, without the truth, we cannot live. We will die slowly, and then all at once, we will collapse, and that will be that. It will be over. A dusty pile of rubble and ho-hos and lies. We need inspiration, something to foster a desire to drive way across the country just to soak it all in, rather than just a desire to leave the country and escape the tired predictability and hordes of American idiots. We need a new dream, something real, solid to believe in, truth in our history books, bread on the table of the poor. There really, honestly, are truths and riches out there we have not yet imagined growing this moment in the fertile minds of those who will lead us. We have many heroes from which to draw inspiration, people who gave and are giving their lives to the truth, patriots, if you will, saints, if you will, hard workers, whatever you want to call it. They are there, and they have always been there, even if you don't see them, even if they are not famous. For the most part, they don't give a damn about being famous. They are driven by something inside of them, and we can draw hope from the absolute certain fact that that same thing is also inside of each one of us. People like Len Ossanek, Jim Mars, Robert Groden, Mark Lane, Richard Dolan, William Pepper, Jim Douglas, Jim Garrison, Bill Hicks, George Carlin, Fletcher Prouty, people like that. Here's a story quickly about someone in today who's happening, what's happening today. Wednesday, April 25th, someone gave a going to jail party. Says, hello again. Please spread the word. This Wednesday, Francisco Risso and Patrick O'Neill are hosting a going-to-jail party at Holy Comforter Episcopal Church in Burlington, Vermont. Please bring a dish to share. Francisco and Patrick must appear in Alamance County Superior Court on Thursday, April 26th at 10 a.m. to be sentenced to jail. Both refuse to pay fines and court costs because immigrants cannot buy their way out of jail. On April 8, 2009, seven immigrant rights activists were arrested outside the Alamance County Detention Center in Graham during a theatrical performance to call attention to the county's anti-immigrant policies. Francisco Patrick, dressed as ICE cops, and Audrey Schwenkel, dressed as the Statue of Liberty, were convicted of failing to obey a lawful order. After arresting and cuffing Lady Liberty as an illegal alien, the group blocked the doors of the jail when police refused to allow them to bring in their prisoner. Audrey has already served a seven-day sentence, and she will share stories of her jail experience Wednesday night. The case against Graham Ward and Debbie Bisak ended in a hung jury, and their charges were dropped. The sixth defendant, Wendy Michener, was convicted in district court. The seventh member of the group, Juan Montez, died unexpectedly following surgery on October 30th, 2009. Alamance County law enforcement has been accused of racial profiling and for arresting Latinos for minor crimes, then turning them over to ICE. On Wednesday, the six Alamance defendants are hosting a going-to-jail send-off for Francisco and Patrick. Please invite your friends. The party kicks off at 6:30 p.m. That was yesterday. They went to court today. Folks, these are people we can draw inspiration from. We can do this, but we cannot be afraid.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being? That it has just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through the all-American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that all energy is free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founder's vision? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
Good morning, boys and girls. Welcome to public school, to America, to your life. We might as well get started. We might as well begin at the beginning. The moon landings were faked. Also, morning recess, 10:15. You'll wear a coat. You'll line up quietly along the chalkboard. The FBI and CIA killed John F. Kennedy and his brother Robert. No peeing in the sandbox. Anyone who does so will live to regret it. Please write Gulf of Tonkin in black pen only across the top of your hand. We'll get to it later. Lunch. Lunch begins promptly at 11:45. What you do not finish by 12 noon will be packed neatly back into your sack or lunchbox and taken home. Nothing stays in the cloakroom. Nothing. Pearl Harbor is not what your parents think it was. We'll be having parents' Pearl Harbor Day in December, encouraging them to read some more about FDR. No talking. Goes without saying, correct? Good. The FBI burned children your age alive in a place called Waco. They blew children your age to bits in a place called Oklahoma City. If you brought your rugs as you were instructed, you'll have nap time at 9:30 this morning. September 11, 2001, which you may or may not have heard of, was done by your own government to start wars to make money for the wealthy men and women who actually run this country and the world. The word democracy is propaganda itself. Voting and marching and parades down the middle of the street are virtually useless. And if you had any sense at all, you wouldn't come back tomorrow. But if you do, well, if you do, we'll learn and we'll understand and we'll grow. And in due time, we'll blow the lid off this pop stand. Now, please rise, and as we begin our day, join me in singing Steve Earle's song, our New Republic National Anthem, F, the FBI.
Are you going to sponsor a foreign exchange student this coming fall? Well, right now is the time to send them the new book they can read at home and on the plane, How to Speak American. Your new little beaner or Ruski or Frenchie will learn such useful phrases as, nice day today. Who won the game? What's on tonight? That's good pizza. I like pizza. Ever heard of that? No, I don't know where that is. You are a wacko. Support the troops. Universal health care is a communist plot. You sound like a conspiracy theorist. Poor people deserve what they get. The global warming hoax is a socialist plot. How to speak like an American. It's a small book. Read it while you poop. By the time you're done, you are proud to be an American. At the end of the day, the bottom line is on the same page. How to speak American. Dumbing down the world. One little foreigner kid at a time. Get her done.
Our first guest tonight is Tom Hastings, a veteran activist, writer, and now a teacher at Portland State University. Tom's personal interests range from helping with planning and executing campaigns of nonviolent resistance to militarism and injustice to learning about the wonderful ecology here in the North American temperate rainforest. And I'm going to let him tell you some more. Tom, welcome to our show.
Well, I guess you've introduced me pretty well. I'm coming at this entirely from a history of activism going back decades to when a lot of us first became activists during the civil rights era and during the war in Vietnam.
That's when I started.
So the lessons along the way have presented us all with our own series of challenges, and for me, eventually, I decided after I became a full-time community organizer in northern Wisconsin that I really needed to learn a lot more theory, a lot more of the best practices, so that I could be a better organizer. So I started going to school and picking up degrees in peace studies and in journalism, all the way through to a doctorate in education. And so I'm sort of a combination teacher and activist now. And I work both locally and I have worked nationally. I continue to work internationally. I just got back from Colombia, actually, and work with grassroots activists and with those who are attempting to build capacity on the ground for grassroots activists, no matter where they're at. So this means we might be working with people from just about any place on earth, as long as they are using nonviolence and acting from a civil society basis, then we try to help them think about their options and strategic choices and tactical choices. So I
well,
do that through my
sounds
writing,
like
but
a,
also...
That sounds like a worthy endeavor, Tom. Has there been any point, from the sound of it, you've been involved since the 60s. Was there any point where you got complacent or got burned out or anything like that?
Well, I think the big sort of shouldn't have been a surprise to me, but the big surprise came for me when I seriously started studying and becoming a student and realizing that was actually interfering with my activism. Over the long haul, it made me a much stronger activist with a much better sort of structural analysis along several lines of thinking. But while engaged in that, it really does force you to make some choices, and I really felt like it made me choose my battles probably a little more carefully, so that I didn't feel like I was just dumping lots and lots of time and effort into something that really wasn't going to bear fruit. And I'm not suggesting that that if something doesn't look easily winnable, it shouldn't be done. I've certainly been involved in long, long campaigns. It took us decades to get Project Elf shut down in northern Wisconsin. And, you know, I went to prison for that one and engaged in, just years and years of activism, and felt like... felt all the way along the line like we were in the Democratic majority, but we weren't winning, and I had to try to figure that out. But I think that was probably the only time when I felt a little bit like now I'm making a choice to not be such a great activist for a while, because I'm trying to pick up these degrees and figure out how to have a stronger impact. I don't know if that makes any sense, but
I think
I've sort of come out the other end of
that
a little bit. But
I remember in the late 60s, early 70s, when I used to go to a number of demonstrations and some organization meetings, one of the causes of controversy was... Well, on one level, it was between the violent demonstration versus nonviolent demonstration, but they tended to dress it up and call it working within the system or working against the system.
Yeah, and I think that's an endless challenge. So right now, I'm a war tax resister. So I'm working outside the system, but on the other hand, my paycheck comes from the state. I teach at a state university. So what that means is that the paycheck is just smaller because the IRS comes in and takes it. And so is that something I've settled philosophically? I don't think so. I think it's a daily challenge to myself. The only thing that I have settled absolutely, both strategically and philosophically, is the violence versus nonviolence. I think that the evidence is so overwhelming in favor of nonviolence, both from a, well, the philosophical sense is up to each individual, but in terms of a strategic sense, there really isn't any question. I mean, that's pretty, the research and the track record of nonviolence is so far superior to violence that it's interesting to watch the studies come in and you try to figure out, well, with any study, with any research, well, who's conducting this and where's the funding coming from and is the methodology good and so forth. But the more the results come in looking at violence and nonviolence, the more that it's just obvious that the ones who promote violence are not necessarily agents of the state, but they may as well be. They're doing the work of the people in power. They're doing the work of the elites, because the elites have always been better at violence. And the democratic, if we like democracy, then I think it's pretty clear that the results are in on that too. That you conduct a struggle using nonviolence, and the results, the sustainable results, both in human rights and civil rights and metrics of democracy, are overwhelmingly much stronger using nonviolent methods.
What do you think about the Occupy movement that's going on and other current ways of protesting? Do you think things are coming back a little bit? That there are more people actually getting involved in protesting, or is that an illusion?
Well, I think it's great. I think, of course, there is no monolithic Occupy movement. It's different in every town. In the town I'm in Portland, Oregon, I was involved since a little bit before it actually broke out. I was asked to be involved by some of my students who were involved in, I guess I would say, key leadership positions in the leaderless movement. And that the Occupy movement, some things are sort of never changing, but some things really have changed and have brought about new experiments. And I'm pretty excited about that because, Gandhi's autobiography, his subtitle was "The Story of My Experiments in Truth." And I think that as long as we're going to use nonviolence, that we have to keep experimenting so that we learn how to win more often. And I really think that the Occupy movement has been unafraid to make some mistakes. They've made some mistakes, and in many towns in the U.S., they're really learning from those mistakes. And I think when they take the field again, hopefully they will be free to make some new mistakes, no doubt. But we'll have learned from the old ones and be more effective. The idea that they really didn't have a focus, I think that's very true. So that was, that's something to think about, and I think they are thinking about that. The idea that they're insisting that they're a leaderless movement is rhetorically interesting, and there's never been such a thing. There have been plenty of movements with lots of leaders, but never a movement with no leadership at all. And having no leadership has meant that in many cases Occupy movements have been sort of hijacked by the strongest personalities, which is, that's historically relatively common, but to have that rhetoric of "we are leaderless" is something that they may want to revisit and change.
Mm-hmm. Tom, we're getting short on time, so I would like you to tell our listeners how they can find some of your work on the internet, or get in touch with you to get more information on this, and basically just close things out.
Sure. I appreciate the opportunity. My email is PCWTom. It stands for Portland Catholic Worker Tom at gmail.com. Anybody very welcome to contact me. My blog has been a little bit inactive. It's Hastings on Nonviolence. I've actually got three fairly large editorial projects I've been working on. It's kind of shut down my brain for blogging lately, but those are probably the main points of contact, and I'm always happy to connect with my fellow activists from everywhere.
Well, thank you, Tom, for appearing on the show, and you know, keep up the good fight. I hope we'll have you back in a couple of months to talk some more. And so for tonight, thank you, and have a good night.
Thank you, Mike. Good night.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first. Some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
This program brought to you today by your local hometown, just like you, down-to-earth, buddy-buddy, military recruiter. Come on, come in and sit down. We know how it is. You need money, something to do with your life, and some sort of skill, something to do with your life. And without learning how to kill people, you would not know what to do with your life. Dude, we wouldn't either. And it's fun to shoot a gun and kill people. When you kill people, you protect America and high school football and Coke commercials and the mall and your grandma on her porch and pie from Bakersfield to Bismarck to Birmingham. And hey, we could just go get a Coke or something. You like Transformers? We are your local military recruiters, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. For honor, for America, for church and grandma and Coke and pie. And for self-worth and not being bored and a big loser. Hey, let's go kill some people. Hoorah!
Good morning, children. This week we're starting my award-winning unit, the unit that won the Teachers Association Geography Award last year at the Big Teachers Association meeting. Many other teachers around the country are now copying my work. And, well, that should be illegal, but I'll get them. But for now, you're the lucky recipients of having me as your teacher. If you'll open your packet on the upper left-hand corner of your desk. This is the first day of our Where the Fuck Is unit. We'll ask, where the fuck is Syria? Where the fuck is Yemen? Where the fuck is Pakistan? And on Friday, we'll ask ourselves, where the fuck is Bahrain? Next Monday, we'll begin a full week of what the fuck do we care? And next month, we'll start on a project that'll take us to the end of the year. How the fuck we can all get rich like real Americans and forget all the rest of the world and this geography crap. I think that's where we can really pull all this together, where it'll all start to make sense. Well then, please, open your fucking packets. Let's begin.
Who put the bop in the bop-she-bop-she-bop? Who put the ram in the ram-a-lam-a-ding-dong? Who put the special agent in the news editor's desk, you think? Who put the lie in the New York Times, you say? Who pulled the Gulf of Tonkin in the whoopee, we're all going to die in Vietnam thing? Who put the Oswald Ray Sirhan in the sophomore history text? PSYOPs, U.S. Naval and Army Intelligence. It's what we do in Baghdad, Bangkok, and Bemidji, too, paid for by you. Now I'd like to welcome our second guest, Keith McHenry. Keith McHenry, where in the world is Keith McHenry tonight, I wonder? Keith McHenry is the founder of Food Not Bombs. I think he still lives part-time in Taos, New Mexico. He's a longtime activist. I think the last time we talked to him, he was in Miami at the Occupy Movement. I'm not sure. Anyway, Keith, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Hey, where are you these days?
I'm in eastern Washington State in Yakima.
And what are you doing there?
I just returned from Canada, speaking in Canada.
You're trying to what?
I just returned from Canada. I spoke there in Vancouver, and it was a lot of people came, and it was really exciting.
Is this? I think the last time we spoke to you, you were in Miami, and I'm not sure. It's been a few months, but if you'd like to take some time to just kind of tell us about your travels and what you've been up to and where you're headed.
Okay, yes. So anyway, I finished writing the book, and it got published officially on April 1st, called Hungry for Peace. And that book, but I did have review copies that I took around with me at the beginning of the occupation. So I actually slept at 15 occupations and helped cook in about 20 occupations, and that spanned all the way from up in, I was at Wall Street itself, D.C., up in Rochester, New York, Boston, and then all the way down to Miami. That's where we did the last interview. I was at Occupy Miami. And then, since then, I've been on the West Coast, and that's been really interesting. So I've gone all over... I was down in L.A. I spoke at a number of venues there. And I did the Anarchist Book Fair. And then I came up to up here to Canada. And one of the things that's been going on is the fact that in January, we started getting calls and emails from people saying that they had been threatened with arrest for sharing food in one city after the other. And so we've been trying to organize a worldwide effort to stop the arrest of people for sharing food. And that's been pretty interesting. So the most recent city to ban the sharing of food outside was Houston. And they started out where it was going to be half a year in jail and a $2,000 fine, but we actually were able to get them to back off a little bit. So now it will be a $150 fine, 90 days in jail if you get caught sharing food outside. But you could potentially do it if a private business lets you share outside of their space, maybe. And if the city also gives you a permit as well. So it's this very cumbersome permit process, which is not guaranteed in Houston. But then in Philadelphia, they have now banned us all together. So that is a $150 fine every time you share food, and several months in jail. So these are just typical of many cities that have been making these laws all around the United States, and even in other countries like Belarus has been arresting us as well.
Keith, do you have time to follow politics, or are you interested in the presidential election, and do you have any opinions on it?
Yeah, I do actually follow things like that. One of the things is, I would say sadly, the Obama administration has been pretty unsympathetic to the rights of poor people, basic political rights of people, free speech rights, and it's been really sad to see things like the National Defense Authorization Act include the ability for the military to arrest anybody, hold them without trial permanently, to have the kill list, the stuff that he is supporting in the effort to stop the occupations, the protests in Chicago at NATO, which was the G8 NATO. It's really interesting to see how his support of things like nuclear power, fracking, the oil drilling in the Arctic, expanding the freedom of banks to do more exploitation. It's really a very sad day when you see so many of our rights disappear under this administration at a time when he should be trying to get us to like his policies and to support them. And, the most recent thing, allowing the use of predator drones to kill people, even if they're not identified as being a threat, but just by their behavior, and using computer algorithms to assassinate people, not even really knowing if those people are even a minor threat to the United States. And that's really a shame. And you go on and on with the, sadly, with the horrible policies of the Democratic Party and the Obama, and sad that he's basically running on a platform that he's not Mitt Romney, and therefore vote for him, even though his policies are not what his supporters would actually get behind at all, even remotely. It's really sad.
Keith, what is your next event or next couple events? Can you tell people where they can see you or meet you next down the road?
Yeah, so I'm going to be, next week I'm going to be at the Roundhouse in Santa Fe helping provide meals at the May 1st general strike and the actions that are happening across the world on May 1st against the exploitation of capitalism, of war, the austerity programs that are being forced on people, the lack of access to democratic process. And so people all over the world will be taking action on that day. And there's some pretty major, looks like Egypt should be huge, Tunisia, Greece, of course, will have giant actions, France, Spain, England, and there's even, probably will be some actions happening in places like China and stuff like that. So I'm in Santa Fe that day providing meals at the state capitol, which is called the Roundhouse. And then I will be in Ethiopia for about a week in Addis Ababa, helping with the Food Not Bombs chapter there and speaking at a conference on hunger and plant-based diets. And then after that, I come back to Chicago to help with the protests there against NATO and to help provide meals and cook there. And then I'm being honored by the Justice Studies Association with the Noam Chomsky Award on June 1st in Chicago at Loyola College. And I'll be participating in their conference the last weekend of May and the first day of June. And then after that, I go back to Taos, New Mexico, where we are starting a Food Not Bombs free school. And the first thing that we're going to be doing there is workshops on permaculture and organic gardening and that kind of thing. So irrigation, composting, And then at the end of the summer, we have the Republican and Democratic National Conventions that we're providing food at. And we have a world gathering happening just before the Republican Convention in Tampa. And then after those protests, people will move up to North Carolina to participate in those actions. So that's basically the plan so far.
So somewhere in there, Keith, there must be a week of golf and sunshine, huh? Could you tell people one more time in closing how they can get your book, where they can go to buy your book?
Well, people can visit foodnotbombs.net, and there the book is called Hungry for Peace: How to Help End War and Poverty with Food Not Bombs, and it's so they can get a copy, order it there. And it's essentially not only, it's an argument for why one should organize for social change and participate in Food Not Bombs, but also helps you cook and collect food and, you know, tells you the whole way to organize a Food Not Bombs chapter, but also other tips like how to organize an occupation, rallies, flash mobs, things like that. And it has recipes, vegan recipes for both 6 people or for groups of 100. And so also on that website, foodnotbombs.net, you can find out how to either connect with your local Food Not Bombs chapter, or you can find out how to start your own group in your community. And also, you know, lots of other activist tips, basically. And for many people might realize that Food Not Bombs is in 1,000 cities of the world. It's, we're dedicated to nonviolent social change. We have no headquarters, and each chapter uses the consensus process to make decisions. And so we really invite all listeners to participate in their local chapter or start their own chapter, because this is is one way to support all types of activities, including occupations and protests and labor struggles, things like that. So that's where you can find out all the information.
Thank you very much, Keith. Have a good night, and we look forward to listening to talking to you again next time on your travels. And, hey, congratulations on the Noam Chomsky Award. Well-deserved. Have a good night.
Thanks so much for having me, you guys. It's great that your program is still airing, so that's so cool. Bye-bye, you guys.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being? That it has just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through the all-American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity, and that all energy is free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founder's vision? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
This message brought to you by the BOP, Federal Bureau of Prisons. You think you live in Merca with a capital M? Think you can do what you want? Think you don't have to pay taxes to pay for weapons to kill people who are opposing United States corporations? You think you'd rather have your money pay for schools, roads, poor people, old people? Think again. Look around. Get your mind right. And have a good day. We are the BOP.
Well, it's been another long week in Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. A while back, we heard some stories about Kate King, the daughter of Jack Robert King, local internet radio show host. Well, Jack Robert is long gone, killed by the police. But Kate is still around, and she sent some transcripts of some of JRK's radio shows and some homemade notes to tell the story of their family. She sent it to the local newspaper, but they didn't want it, so she sent them on to us. The basement tapes of Looking for Bigfoot Radio and Jack Robert King. And we are proud to be the ones to tell the world the story of a nobody who once existed, Jack Robert King. The story of us all.
Good morning, Wall Street. May your day be painful. May you look around you and see torturous monotony. May you despair this morning that the afternoon will be even worse, the night unbearable. May you long for a glimpse of blue sky and stars and hope. May you lie on the floor with your nose under the locked door, seeking one breath of fresh air. May your wife grow bulbous and your sons refuse to speak. May soccer practice be hailed upon by mortar fire and your new vehicle destroyed by a roadside bomb. May you know how it is to be alive. Good morning, America. Does this heaven? No, it's Nebraska, not even Iowa. I've decided to start studying Spanish. It's the language of the oppressed, the poor, the real people in America. The other morning, I was sitting behind these stupid old white people, and this little Mexican kid walked out into the crosswalk. He had his hood cinched up tight as hell under his chubby chin. His mother must have thought it was, if it was tight enough, it might protect him from stupid gringos. Well, little guy got in front of his car, then turned to face his old fart couple. He stretched out his arms. The old guy tried to inch up left and right. Each time, the little kid slid a couple steps to keep him from getting by. It looked like that guy in China in Tiananmen Square in front of that tank. The second grader was keeping America from getting where it wanted to go. Finally, he laughed, put his arms down and let him pass, waving his arm like a bullfighter with a big grin on his face inside that hood. The string cutting into his chin. I swear, only interesting thing in these little shit towns is the Mexicans.
At some point, we read in Jack Robert King's notes that he decided to go to Oregon. He wanted to find Bigfoot. He wanted to find out the truth about America, if Bigfoot exists, if the America we read about in our history books actually exists. He told his wife about his plans. You know, when I worked at the group home, there was this young guy who couldn't talk. He was autistic. He just loved trains. He would stare for hours at a book about trains. He would go crazy when we would go past a train or drive through a train yard. I wish I could be that passionate about something. She shook her head and rolled her eyes. You are, Jack. You are passionate as all hell about John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy and every conspiracy in the book. That's not good, Jack. That's why it's called Conspiracy Nut. You've got to get help, Jack. Get off that computer and get back with the agency. Really, we need you. Your family needs you to return to reality from wherever you are. Put down the mouse and step away from the computer. Come out of the woods and back to civilization. Please, Jack, do it for us.
Well, good morning again, dear people. Jack's radio audience heard a coffee cup hit the floor. A grunt, something being slammed onto the desk. Good morning, Eveleth, Minnesota. Walk out in the woods just 2 miles from the airport. Listen and hear a replay of the plane crash. The engine cuts out, frantic attempt at saving the plane. The screams, the prayers, the group huddled for a last goodbye. The zooming dive into the pines. The white van putting along the back highway. Cans of Diet Pepsi popped, clinked, and congratulations. You can hear all that as you stand in the woods alone. But there's no way you can imagine the force with which Wellstone's plane hit the ground. This morning's program is brought to you by the Border Patrol condoms, stopping spermatozistas from entering since 1995. Their preferred way of life will be protected if you use Border Patrol. That's a stupid flag on your antenna, that flag sticker on your window is idiotic. That yellow ribbon sticker on the back of your car is just like putting a kick me, I'm a moron sticker there. You want to say it, don't you? I was invited to an office party once, and I wanted to say I'm on Prozac, not rhinoceros tranquilizers. Saw a UFO once. It was late at night. I thought it was a balloon, and then it was an orange.
And that's the news from Mount Liberty. Where all the soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO journalists are about average.
We'd like to thank you for joining us for the New American Dream Radio Show tonight. Please stay tuned and listen to Black Op Radio with Lena Sanek. He's always got a great show coming up right after ours. Thanks to our sponsors, June 2508 by James Boomey, thespiritualun.org, and worldnewstrust.com. Come back and see us again next week, same time, same place. And thank you, and good night, Mike.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm. Good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer, and good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being if it's just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through all-American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that is all energy free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American Founders version? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org. WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first. Some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org. Come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.